Good morning, brothers and sisters, and friends of Broadway. I want to begin our lesson today with an announcement that on the 4th, October 4th, we will resume our in-person classes, sermon and church meeting, the 4th at 11 o'clock. Now, one of the things we want to do is to make sure we maintain some degree of caution so that we will adhere to the face mask protocols, and we will have sanitation stations here, and we will have distance seating, separate seatings within the assembly. So we want to encourage you to return to our open services on the 4th at 11 a.m., bring your mask, and also we will have the distance seating so that separated seating so that we can worship once again together. So that's good news, and I'm happy to make that announcement. I look forward to seeing everyone here then. Our lesson today is going to be one that asking the proverbial question, what God wants from us, asking ourselves what God wants from us, for us. And our text will come to us from John 14, 22, 27, and I'll get to that in a moment, but let me very briefly do an introduction here before we get to the anchor text to go into it with more detail. Number one, peace is what God wants for us. No matter what it is that's happening around us or to us, God desires peace. Well, let me date myself for a moment as I go to an explanation of peace and the peace that God seeks. During the 60s, singing folk songs of Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and protest and aspiration songs of Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye, songs cried out for peace in troubled times. How many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and many times those cannonballs fly before they're forever banned. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Most of the songs sang pointed out the lack of peace during these early times in the 60s, but offered few answers. Bob Dylan wrote that the times there are changing. But not much has really changed since those times. We still live in a war-torn, troubled world. Until Christ returns, there will be wars and rumors of wars. The only thing that's changed is our vocabulary. We have new fearful words like Al-Qaeda, suicide bombings, dirty bombs, the Taliban, jihad, anthrax, SARS, homeland security, and high alert. Yes, without a doubt, these are anxious days. But they're days that we can fortify our faith. As one who has seen war, one thing I've learned is that the absence of war does not bring about peace. And peace is truly what we seek. Neither does material prosperity. We seek peace, yet we fail in our efforts to attain peace. Until we encounter the source of peace. There is no peace until we encounter the source of peace. The Lord himself is the source of all peace. To reject the peace God offers is to embrace despair and disappointment. Life can bring us to despair, to combat hopelessness. We need to know what peace is and how to get it. And that will be the thesis for this lesson. What is peace and how to get it? In reading through the book of Job, we quickly learn that if there was ever someone with troubles, it was poor Job. Yet despite his pain, Job was able to confidently declare, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that after this body has decayed, I will see God. Job did not understand why he had been dealt such a difficult life, but he was assured that he belonged to God. And he was also sure that God was a good God, a merciful God. Where does true peace come from? Becomes the question. True peace can only come from the God of peace. Jesus tells us, in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world, John 16 and 33. In the ancient Hebrew language, the word for peace is shalom. In Israel, it is a greeting, shalom alaykum. Peace be with you. In Arabic, it's salam alaykum. It is too bad the Jews and Arabs cannot say this to each other. Shalom refers to the state of integrity, harmony, serenity, and completeness within a person's life. Peace is not merely the absence of struggle, but the abiding presence of calm. When we trust in God, the Holy Spirit places in us a sense of peace and confidence, which Paul describes as fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Unbelievers may enjoy a comfortable life, but the most they can attain is a false sense of security. Jesus told his followers, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Again, Jesus' message to his followers, do not let your hearts be troubled in troubling times, and do not be afraid. People may try to anesthetize their pain, but they must eventually face life and eternity. People lack peace because they seek the wrong source. They seek peace in artificial sources. Isaiah warns us that why spend your money on that which doesn't satisfy? Why spend your time on that which does not satisfy? Jesus spoke of a man who figured his wealth would buy him peace and he could take life easy. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you," Luke 12, 19 and 20. You can buy sleep in a drugstore, but only God can give you peace. True rest is found in knowing God and developing a personal relationship with the Lord. Psalm 4:8 says, "I will lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe." Put in our trust in the Lord to keep us safe and at peace, at rest. The question becomes, why do some believers lack peace? And as a believer in knowing our relationship with the Lord, why do some believers lack peace? A defiled or weak conscience can cause unrest due to either guilt over sin or from neglecting the disciplines of the Christian life. Can create turmoil within your life, causing you to not enjoy the gift of peace that God has for you. Puritan Thomas Watson advised that slacken the strings of a violin, the music is spoiled. As Christians slacken their duty, they spoil the sweet music of peace in their souls. As the fire goes out, the peace cools. Over 20 years ago, a married couple concerned about the threat of war decided to carefully research the safest place on earth to which they could retire. They studied and traveled about the world, looking for this place of peace. Finally, they found the place. And on Christmas, they sent their pastor a card from their new home in the Falkland Islands, just prior to the war between Argentina and England, breaking out there in early 1980s. So disruption and war found their place of peace. The question remains, where can we go to find peace? Where can we go to find peace? Let's go to John 14:22-27. Peace is what God wants for us, no matter what is happening around us. Peace is what God wants for us, no matter what is happening around us. John 14:22 reads, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? John 14:23-27 reads, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus continues in verse 25 and 26. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Verse 27, Jesus repeats here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The number one place to find God's will, God's peace, is in his word. Peace also has to do with our standing before God. Paul writes that since we have been declared righteous through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. This is the peace of reconciliation, an end of conflict between two parties formerly at war with each other. Charles Spurgeon wrote that God cannot give us peace apart from himself, for it is not there. Without God, there is no peace. There's no such thing, anything that resembles peace apart from God is counterfeit or false. Peace works regardless of our situation. We may want God to change our circumstances when he wants to change our character. On a personal note, when I served in the Marine Corps in Vietnam, I felt an amazing sense of peace, even though I was in harm's way. I do not attribute my inner calm to any special John Wayne kind of courage, but to God giving me a sense of his presence, a sense of purpose, and a feeling of protection. I knew that my life was in his hands. My heart carries within us our own sense of peace or war, depending on who is in control, Christ or self. When we turn it over to the Lord, we find peace. When we struggle on our own, there's disruption and chaos. During the Korean War, a young Marine lay dying on Heartbreak Ridge. A chaplain came up to him and whispered, can I help you, son? The Marine replied, no, sir, it's all right. The chaplain then saw the source of the dying man's peace. He was clutching a small New Testament Bible in his bloody hand, and his finger was placed on the assurance of John 14:27, which reads, my peace I give to you. Peace involves harmony, being able to live with people from diverse backgrounds. Within the fellowship of believers, peace means working for unity. Peace should rule our relationships. Thomas Merton writes that man is not at peace with his fellow man because he is not at peace with him or herself. He is not at peace with himself because he or she is not at peace with God. So you see, peace begins with a relationship with God, a peaceful relationship with the Lord. And then you can extend that peace to those that you come in contact with, those that are near you. Philip Bliss composed a church standard song when he learned that his wife and children were crossing the Atlantic by ship and in a raging storm, the ship capsized, and all the passengers perished. In hearing the awful news, though crushed by grief, Bliss wrote, "When peace like a river attends all my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." The answer to the search for peace isn't blowing in the wind. The prophet Isaiah offers praise to God, saying, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you." There simply is no peace apart from God. Peace is what God wants for us. No matter what is happening around us, God's peace can be ours. May his peace always rule in our hearts. And as we summarize, peace is what God wants for us, no matter what is happening around us, or to our loved ones. Our closing prayer for this message on this day is, and I'd like to share this with you, this closing prayer. Heavenly Father, Prince of Peace, we beg you to bring us peace, first in our hearts and our homes, and then in our world. We pray that hard hearts will turn to tenderness, and that evil intentions may transform into mercifulness. Bring our world to its knees, for only there can we find peace. Help us to show that because we're loved by you, we can love one another. Help us to live peaceably with one another, Heavenly Father. We know that peacemakers are especially blessed. We know that there's always work for the peacemaker. Please bless the peacemakers. Help us, Heavenly Father, to become peacemakers. Heavenly Father, we pray that you make us instruments of your peace and for your glory. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thus ends our lesson for today. And again, remember, we are reopening October 4th at 11 a.m. Bring your mask, and we will have sanitation stations and distance seating. So we'll take all the precautions and protocols we can to keep everybody safe and sound. And until then, may God continue to bless you, keep you, hold you, and bring you to us once again. Amen.